Hey, welcome to Politico Tech. Today's Thursday, April 25th. I'm Stephen Overly. The Biden administration has been doling out big bucks to chip makers. $8.5 billion for Intel, $6.6 billion for TSMC, $6.4 billion for Samsung. And the latest recipient is Micron Technology. This morning, the Commerce Department pledged $6.14 billion to help the company build facilities in New York and Idaho. If you've been tracking these deals like me, you know this is now Biden's fourth deal with a maker of leading-edge chips, the kind that power emerging technologies like artificial intelligence. It will also be the last, at least for now, because while there is still chips money to be spent in other areas, the administration has maxed out its budget for the most cutting-edge stuff. The guy spearheading these deals is Mike Schmidt. He's the director of the CHIPS Program Office at the Commerce Department. I first spoke with Mike back in August, when this podcast was just getting started, and he was still reviewing funding applications. 8 months and billions of dollars later, I called him up again. Here's our conversation. Well, Mike, welcome back to Politico Tech.
Thank you, Stephen, for having me. Excited to be here.
The latest chips deal announced this morning is a grant worth $6.14 billion for the company Micron. What's the government getting in return for that?
Micron is one of three companies in the world that produces leading-edge memory chips. Memory chips are absolutely essential for all advanced technologies, including most critically right now, the compute required for artificial intelligence. All of leading-edge memory production right now happens in East Asia. And as a result of this, Micron, again, one of three companies in the world that can do this, is bringing leading-edge memory manufacturing at scale to the United States, including one fab in Idaho, which is going to be co-located with their R&D facilities, which are world-class, and a major investment in New York, which will start with the construction of two fabs in New York, but ultimately the full vision is for four fabs and $100 billion investment and truly, you know, extensive manufacturing at scale of the most advanced memory technologies right here on our shores.
And this is the final subsidy that the administration is giving to leading edge chip makers, right? Intel, Samsung, and TSMC have all also gotten money, totaling about $29 billion, I believe, in grants and then, you know, more in loans and things like that. Why were all four of these deals needed?
So you're right. This is the fourth of our major leading edge announcements. And we have more work to do. We're going to invest in the supply chain. We're going to invest in advanced packaging. We're going to continue to make investments in current mature technologies. But, you know, this really rounds out our leading edge portfolio. And when you zoom out, what we are achieving here is truly extraordinary across these investments. It's extraordinary for the scale. We're talking about more than $300 billion of investment being unleashed across the country. It's extraordinary for the diversity of firms. So as a result of these investments, we have there are only five companies in the world that can do leading edge production at all. Four of them we now have agreements with. The fifth is SK Hynix, which recently announced a packaging manufacturing facility in Indiana. So all five committing to the United States. No other economy in the world has more than two doing leading edge production. And then the other extraordinary element to this is the technologies that these companies are bringing to our shores. These are going to be the most advanced technologies in the world across these firms that are being produced right here in the United States. And that's extremely important for our supply chain resilience as a country, extremely important for our technology leadership, extremely important for our economic and national security.
You know, on that last point, national security was central to your case for convincing lawmakers to fund these grants, right? You know, particularly this argument that the U.S. needed to be less dependent on Taiwan for microchips and therefore sort of less vulnerable to China. Now that these deals have been made, I wonder, in your view, you know, how exactly do these deals achieve on that promise?
Sure. So let me answer that in a couple of ways. Number one, think about the importance that artificial intelligence is going to have for economics, geopolitics, and national securities for, you know, decades to come. Artificial intelligence is entirely dependent on compute. It is entirely dependent on leading edge chips, both memory chips and logic chips. And right now, leading edge chips are entirely produced both for memory and logic in East Asia, right? So that represents a real vulnerability for our country. I would say that's an untenable position for us to be in. And so onshoring at scale, leading edge manufacturing capacity, both for logic and for memory. For logic, we're projecting that we'll have 20% of global leading edge capacity, up from 0% today. For memory, this investment in Micron is truly major. That is going to be really important for our national security when you think about a future that is going to be shaped in all these ways by AI. The second is, you know, as I said before, we're not just making investments on the leading edge, right? And so our Samsung investments includes a really important expansion of an existing facility that does current mature node production. We've invested in Global Foundries to produce the first greenfield current mature foundry facility in decades in this country. We've made really important investments in BAE and Microchip. These are all companies that either have extensive existing relationships with our defense industrial base, with the DOD and other parts of our defense community, or as a result of our investments, are committing to collaborate with the DOD. And, you know, one thing we do is, we've set up a team to negotiate the best deal for taxpayers. Part of that is trying to get the lowest subsidy amount possible for these deals. But that part of that is also asking for technologies that are really important for national security. So we'll go to a company and say, you know, hey, we know you're able to do this particular technology. We know it's important for national security. We know it only happens abroad. Let's bring it to the United States. And we're seeing that happen too.
You know, these deals have all been announced now. The funds have been promised. But it's my understanding that the administration hasn't quite, you know, handed out the checks, so to speak, right? When do companies actually get the money?
Yes. So we are announcing our preliminary term sheets with these companies. That will be followed by a short due diligence period where we are mostly doing confirmatory due diligence on, you know, the information that we received in the application, recognizing, frankly, that we've already done a ton of work and due diligence to get to this phase. We will then be at a final award with the company. And the company can come in for funds as they achieve milestones. And we expect funds to flow later this year.
I asked in part, you know, there's obviously an election coming up in November. You know, the U.S. could have four more years of President Biden or see a return of former President Donald Trump. Could this money be pulled back or redirected if there is a change in administration?
You know, our focus is on, you know, making these investments as successful as we possibly can, and building a team here that will exist at the Commerce Department for years and years to come to help manage these awards. And that will be a team that is run by professionals that, you know, our awards are milestone based. And so when a company comes in, they ask for funds. We'll have to evaluate whether milestones are met. We'll have to make adjustments if timelines shift. And we'll have to be nimble, but also kind of managing our risks throughout that process. And so, you know, the program as we've designed it will continue on, and we'll build a team here to do that.
I guess, you know, from a company standpoint, just in terms of the continuity of making these big investments, the question is sort of, can politics change the calculus?
Yeah, I think, and you know, one important thing is CHIPS has been a bipartisan initiative, and you know, part of what we have built here on our team here at the Department of Commerce is a organization in government that is capable of being a sophisticated counterparty with, you know, some of the most advanced, largest, most sophisticated companies in the world, and really building the credibility of the U.S. government as a commercial actor and a counterparty. And I think we've been really successful in building that, and I think that will continue.
Was it a priority for the Commerce Department to announce these deals before the November election?
We have just been moving very fast, and our priority is to make these investments as quickly as possible because of how important they are for our economic and national security. And also, you know, we're operating in a commercial context where our applicants are making live investment decisions about, you know, where they're investing around the world. And so we're really being driven by the urgency of the moment from a national security perspective, as well as, you know, recognizing that if you want to be competitive in a fast-moving industry, you have to be nimble, you have to be commercial, and you have to be able to move quickly.
President Biden has obviously highlighted these deals and the investments in semiconductors as part of his broader economic agenda, including his case for re-election. I believe he's in New York today for touting the Micron deal. Given the timeline for distributing the funds, will the communities that sort of stand to benefit from this feel a lift this year, you know, before November, or when will they see that, you know, payoff, so to speak?
So the impact of the CHIPS Act is already being felt across the country. If you go to the TSMC site in Arizona, you see 10,000 workers coming in every day to build those fabs. The same is true at the Intel sites, at the Samsung site, the Micron site. Communities are going to feel this, and they already are feeling this, and that will only grow over time. As production comes online, suppliers co-locate with the fabs, so they have really kind of ecosystem effects, like throughout a region. Samsung, for example, at their facility in Texas, a couple of dozen suppliers have already indicated an intention to co-locate at the TSMC facility. 14 suppliers have already indicated an intention to co-locate. Again, that'll be true at each of these sites, given the scale of each of these facilities. Those kind of regional effects and that economic impact, which is really so powerful, it's being felt already, and it will only grow in the years to come.
I know there have been some headlines and concerns about projects potentially falling behind due to a lack of workers or funding delays. It sounds like from what you're saying, though, projects are underway. Have you gotten assurances from companies that these projects they've promised are going to be delivered on time and at the size they've pledged?
Yes. So construction in this country is proceeding rapidly to build the future of the semiconductor industry that we envision. On the margins, of course, there are going to be changes in timelines. These are the largest, most complicated manufacturing projects in the world, producing the most advanced technologies in the world. But we feel really good about the pace of how things are advancing. And, we are structuring our agreements with companies to protect taxpayer dollars. As you achieve milestones, that could be a construction milestone, that could be a production milestone, for example, you're then eligible or able to come in to receive a tranche of your funding. And so we will manage against those milestones as a way of ensuring that as funds go out the door, they're going out the door as our strategic objectives are being advanced as a country and as the communities are feeling the economic benefits of what CHIPS is creating.
I know you've just finished rolling out this series of big investments, but some industry folks, including Intel CEO Pat Gelsinger, have started pushing for a new CHIPS bill. I know Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo has also said that more funding will ultimately be needed for the U.S. to lead the world on chips. What would you like to see included in a second CHIPS bill?
Well, I'm not going to comment on any specifics of what may or may not be in future legislation. Our focus here in the CHIPS Program Office has been, on making the current CHIPS bill as successful as it possibly can. And I think it is true to say that the demand we've seen has been extraordinary, and that we have felt, with our funds, $39 billion for the manufacturing incentives, there's only so much you can do with that portfolio. And we have, to give a little context, our leading edge applicants asked for more than $70 billion of funding. The obviously 70 billion, 39 billion, that doesn't really fit. So what we've had to really do is negotiate these as hard as we possibly can, get as much bang for the buck as we possibly can. And there's real demand for investment in the United States that can continue to be unlocked.
Great. Well, Mike, appreciate you making some time for the Politico Tech Podcast.
Awesome. Thank you, Stephen.
That's all for today's Politico Tech. For more tech news, subscribe to our newsletters, Digital Future Daily and Morning Tech. Music in today's episode comes from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Our managing producer is Annie Reese. Our producer is Afra Abdullah. and our editors are Steve Heuser, Daniela Cheslow, and Louisa Savage. I'm Stephen Overley. See you back here tomorrow.